Ephesians 1, and you'll see it again. Ephesians 1, Paul prays for you. People ask me sometimes, well, Brother Rick, what should you pray for one another? Here's something, Paul. Here's God the Holy Spirit praying for you. I think if you pray like the Holy Spirit prays, you'd probably be right. You know, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I figured God does. Now, Paul prays for the Ephesians, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I want you to notice how often it's Him. It isn't you. Our prayers are full of us. My problems, my difficulties, my wants, my desires. This prayer is all full of Him. That you would be filled with the knowledge of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I want you to know God's will. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of, there it is again, His calling. What is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? See, God's interested in what He's doing in your life. Paul said, I want you to know what God's doing in your life. Quit worrying about what you're going to do this afternoon and find out what God's doing, and let that be what's going on in your life. Focus on what He's doing. And what is the excellency of the greatness of His power in us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things. He's the heir of all. He's appointed to the Father. He's the Son, declared, put there, fully educated, capable of running all the universe according to the Father's will.
Then He's not fully God. Then He and the Father are not one. You see what He's got accomplished here in this message is a lessening of the Lord Jesus Christ. That statement which He just made in the people, I'm not hearing a lot of amens. He's the Son, declared, put there, fully educated, and capable. I'm glad He finally got up to speed, capable of running all the universe according to the Father's will.
The head of all things. I read that in Colossians 2. It says, in whom dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all things. You're complete in this one who has been made the head of all things. He has the full knowledge of everything the Father knows. And He got that, by the way, when He was exalted.
No, He had that way before the time of the exaltation. He got that as God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's not that Jesus went to school one day and learned, oh, plan B. Meanwhile, finally, at long last, we're going to get the answer to the question that is the title for this message, when did Christ learn the mystery?
When He learned about the mystery, He learned about it when He was set at the Father's right hand in the third heavens, far above all heavens right there. When He ascended up into the heavens and sat at the Father's right hand, educated in the prophetic program, there came a time when the fall of Israel took place and the wrath of God's ready to be poured out, and the Father says, wait, son, there's something else for you to know about. And He took Him up far above all heavens and revealed to them the wonderful finality of the revelation of all that God accomplished through Calvary.
Wow. Jesus Christ, then, does not know about the revelation of the mystery until Acts chapter 7, when He's standing. And Acts chapter 7 is when Christ, even at Calvary, didn't understand.
And the extending of His grace, the withholding of His wrath, and the pouring out of His grace, and the forming of the church, the body of Christ, to be a trophy to the riches of His kindness of and His grace toward us throughout all the ages to come.
I've actually had people criticize me, and there's a long line of people wanting to do that, and they would say to me, oh, I listened to Pastor Jordan's message, I don't hear anything wrong, and I don't say a word. What I'm thinking is, you then that don't see anything wrong, I worry for your souls. You've got such a weak understanding of Calvary, of God manifest in the flesh, of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, my concern would be that you believed in another Jesus and that your belief is in vain. How awful all of this is.
And the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew the mystery. He willingly chose to give up that independent knowledge and to live in total dependence of the Father, and the Father re-educated his Son to the place where now the Son knows everything the Father ever planned.
Well, wait a minute now. He makes a statement here that the Father re-educated the Son. I've got a lot of problem with that kind of language. But previously, and if you have the transcript that I sent out to hundreds of people, previously he said, quote, because he has depended upon the education that the Father gave him, he's living in total dependence even today, even now, in what the Father communicated to him. So, then, where are we having Christ complete? Does that ever happen? Apparently not in the theology that Pastor Jordan would have us all to embrace, as many of his followers blind have done.
And Jesus Christ lived in total dependence upon that.
Mm.
And even the exercising of his power and his deity attributes in the ages to come will be in a response to a faith application of what God the Father told him about their plan. And just as Jesus Christ today and for all eternity has chosen to live in dependence upon the word of his Father, he's given you that privilege today.
Wow. Now, I've warned you that the diminution of the deity of your Savior is going to then be reversed, and the elevation of humanity is what's going to be taught next. And so, the faith of Christ, that's faith in God, and you have faith in God, so you and Christ, you're a lot closer than you thought you were. Christ was identified with you, and that he did fully God. You are identified with him. And that identification, that's baptism, immersion into the body of Christ for the sake of identification. But you know what? You're not fully God. He is, was, ever shall be. What is being taught here is a separation of the parts of deity to a point where the Lord Jesus Christ does not survive intact. This is awful. I can't for the life of me think why this good pastor, a man that I don't agree with him and his Thursday crucifixion, I don't agree with him and his racial prophecy that white people are in charge and black people have limits and yellow people, they're in charge of religion. I don't buy into that racist dogma that is still in his school. There are some issues that I'm very, very uncomfortable with Pastor Jordan when he corrects Romans chapter 6, verse 1 in his classes. I've got a lot of problems with that, but now we've gone beyond the pale. Now we're past where we can agree to disagree, as the wimpy Christians, that's one of their favorite sayings, you know, judge not, agree to disagree. We've gone past that now. We've attacked the very centerpiece of Christianity, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ.
When Paul said, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. You see, God the Father today has fully and completely educated you in his word. Everything he wants you to know today has been completely revealed and put together in a book called a Bible, and it's been put into your hands. The way to study that Bible, the right division of God's word, the way to get the profit out of that book has been declared to you, been demonstrated to you. And as you take that truth of who God has made you and his Son, and where you are in the purpose and program of God, and you depend upon that for your life, then the Word of God works effectually in you that believe. And the life of Jesus Christ becomes a tangible reality in your life. Not a figment of your imagination, not a hoped-for thing, oh God, please drop it down on me, but becomes a reality in your life. When your faith reaches out to the living Word of God, to the life-giving Word of God, and depends upon it to be your wisdom and your truth and your life. You see, that's why this morning, if what I'm talking to you just sounds goofy, and you're still struggling with how to have your sins forgiven, and you're still struggling with how to know that you have eternal life and you go to heaven when you die, that's where you are this morning, I've got good news for you. You can quit struggling because you're never going to figure it out on your own, but you can believe what God has said. When He talks about how He sent His Son to Calvary to pay for all of your sin debt. The wage of sin is death, so Christ died. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid our sin debt. And when your faith, when you make the choice to depend upon His death as your sin payment, then God raised Him from the dead so He could be the author of eternal life. He could give you the gift of eternal life.
That sounded so innocent, didn't it? That God raised Him from the dead. And of course it's true. In Galatians we read in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not by men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead. So there I've got God the Father raising Christ from the dead. But of course, that isn't the whole picture. Then I have in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, this information. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, there I've got the Spirit raising the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. So not simply God the Father. But again, that's not the whole picture. In John chapter 10, in verse 17, Christ says, I lay down my life that I might take it up again. Do you see? If I only taught the verse in Galatians, God raised Him from the dead. If I only taught the verse from Romans, the Holy Spirit raised Him from the dead. If I only taught John chapter 10, verse 17, Christ raised Himself from the dead. And if I only taught any one of those three, I'd be telling you the truth, but not the whole truth. For you see, all three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, involved in the death, the burial, the resurrection, the three are one. It's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so, once again, we get these things. Now, I've warned you, heads up, we're going to elevate humanity. We're going to deify humanity. You watch and see.
When you are willing to depend upon His death as your death payment and His life as your life, God does something marvelous. He takes you and He places you into His Son, in the living oneness with His Son, into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven and became a man so that He could have a living relationship with us in our humanity, He did that so that He could take you by the hand, God could place you in Him and give you a living relationship with God Himself. And that's had by depending on Him, on His Word to you. Not a religious doctrine, not a doctrinal statement, not something you figured out, but what God has said. And because God said it, it's real. And I depend upon it. And the way it controls your thinking is by just depending on what God said about it. And if you've never passed from death to life, if you've never trusted Christ, let religion go today. Let your performance go today, because it isn't getting you there. And it never will. Trust one that doesn't fail, that always accomplishes His purpose. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Just depend on Him. Your faith resting in God's Son as your Savior is what God the Father looks at. And He says, everyone that believes on My Son, I put him in My Son, and all the things that belong to Him belong to you now. His life becomes your life. His death payment becomes your death payment. Your sins are taken care of. You get, the girls quoted the verse this morning, God made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And then His justice gives you life because you have His righteousness. And then, friend, that life then lives in you on a daily basis the way it lived in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Whoa! The life then lives in you on a daily basis, comma, the way it lived in the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, He didn't really mean that. Okay, listen to the next sentence.
And God is manifest in our mortal bodies just like he was manifest in the flesh of Christ.
Whoa! Wow, I told you. We're going to deify humanity. We're going to make the faith of Christ, Christ having faith in something outside of himself. Did you ever sing the song, Faith of Our Fathers Burning Bright? The faith of Christ is that body of doctrine, that assemblage of data that constitutes the faith. Paul asked if you are in the faith. Well, he's not talking about having faith in some aberrant system that Pastor George is putting forth, but those right doctrines. God is manifest in our mortal bodies just like he was manifest in the flesh of Christ. No Mormon ever said it better.
As we live like Christ did, in absolute, complete, total dependence on his love and grace to us.
My dependence, no question about that, but I'm not God. Christ is, on every page of the Bible, God.
In dependence on his word to us. The truth of his word living in us. And it's that word of God that is the connection. You see, the word of God, it's a book sitting there on the table that we read, and yet it's alive. It's the living word of God. It's that connection where the life of Christ can be brought into the reality of the experience of your life on a daily basis, in the reality of where you live. McGee used to talk about where the rubber hits the road. Put it in the shoe leather that you live in. And that's not by you performing and you striving. It's by you just being who God has said you are. Now that's why we meet together to study God's Word. That's why on a daily basis we study God's Word. It's not just a study some old ancient book. It's to study our life in Christ. I hope you can understand. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When I say to you, we live like Christ lived in total dependence on the Father's will, well, listen, that's a reality in the life of Christ. And it can be just that much a reality in your life. And just like Jesus Christ revealed the Father, and he could say, the words that I speak, the works that I do, they manifest in the words that we speak and the works that we do in a faith dependence on him, reveal him.
The balance of the message is not going to be as awful as it's been up till now. He's winding down. He's trying to put smiles back on faces, no doubt, that had been covered with incredulity. He's attempting to ease himself out and be done. The question remains, why? Why are we here? Why are we discussing this? Why have these issues been put forth by Pastor Jordan to the point now where you've got legions of people all around the country choosing up sides? Well, Pastor Jordan this, oh, this brother that, and it's not about Pastor Jordan. It's about these doctrines. Now, Pastor Jordan put this forth. Pastor Jordan put it on the table. So to that degree, he bears the responsibility for providing a stumbling block and helping people become shipwrecked when it comes to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Pastor Jordan should be ashamed of himself. Had he preached this as an unsaved Methodist, of course you would forgive him in his unsaved condition. Sinful flesh does a lot of wrong things. However, as a believer and as a leader in the grace movement, this is on a different level. This is something that Pastor Jordan chose to make and issue, and it most certainly is, isn't it?
What a joy it is to have an objective faith that rests in an objective truth that doesn't even depend on my feelings or my thinking. Having begun in the Spirit, we're not made perfect through the flesh. We just rest in him and his word to us. And you know, if you want that to be a reality in your life, there's a verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'll close with this. Paul says in verse 16, what agreement, 2 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
That is a whole lot different from what we said earlier. God is manifest in our mortal bodies, just like he was manifest in the flesh of Christ. No, I beg your pardon. We've got here enough in this message to provide a level of, I suppose, the politically correct expression would be plausible deniability. That to the people who have already made their mind up that they don't like Brother Terry and they do like Brother Jordan, fine. That's not the issue. Plausible deniability. There's a lot of things that Pastor Jordan says that are right about salvation, right about sin, right about the Bible. A lot of right things. But there is the leaven of a damnable heresy that is present. And at this point, Pastor Jordan has not been willing to be accountable for it. There's no question, people, what the man said. That Jesus Christ put aside, lay aside, all the exercise of all of his deity attributes, and even today is dependent on what God tells him. And think about it now. You have manifested you just as did Jesus. Wow. Just not so. It's just damnable heresy. It's blasphemous.
You want to have in your life on a daily basis, you want to have in your experience the capacity to live as the sons and daughters, full-grown members of the family, where the father says, here's my family. They live by my will, by my life. He says, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. You know what that is? That you just need to be separately set apart unto who God has made you in Christ. And not be entangled by all the other things. The unclean thing there, by the way, is the religious system. But just live in the identity God gives you in His Son. I want you to rejoice in the wonder, not just of who Jesus Christ was, oh, how awesome that is, but who He is designed to be in you. And the thrill, the joy, the victory that God gives you in His Son to live in your life today. Father, we thank you this morning for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's with humble hearts filled with awe that we behold the person of our Savior and the identity you give us in Him.
Identity you've given us in Him. The positional truth that we have, the propitiatory sacrifice, the imputation, oh my, all of that is absolutely right. But we sure went through a lot of quicksand and swamp gas to get to the end of this message, and I'm sorry. This is reprehensible. This is beyond the pale. This is unacceptable in the grace movement. If you accept it, then I'm sorry. I love you. I thank God that you're saved if you are. I can't fellowship with you. Not if you hold to the things that the heresies, the blasphemies that have been taught by Pastor Jordan. And to the extent that you support him and you support his message, you are harming the church, the body of Christ. And I say that with a heavy heart, with a broken heart, with total conviction.
And it's with genuine humility that we respond with hearts that say thanks, hearts of thanksgiving, that rest, rely, depend upon you, knowing there could be no other way. I pray this morning you'd make these things as real and as rich in our hearts as they are in yours, that our Savior might be honored and our lives might reflect that honor in His name.
And my prayer would be that the dishonor heaped upon the Bible, heaped upon the cross, heaped upon my Savior would be shunned, and that the body of Christ mid-Acts Pauline dispensational grace believers would reject the damnable heresy that is being fomented by Pastor Jordan of the Shorewood Bible Church of the Grace School of the Bible. How important is this? I'm supposing, just as beauty is in the eye of the beholder, that to some of you this is less important than it is to others. To me, I know of nothing more important than the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I be complete in Him if He's not complete until Acts chapter 7? How can that be? If He's dependent on God the Father, then Jesus Christ is not the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's just so awful. Now, of course, many of you know that I have been personally tarred and feathered, attacked, vilified, ridiculed. Many of you know that. I'm not looking for sympathy. Neither am I encouraging or attempting to foment any anger toward Pastor Jordan. What we need to reject is the doctrine. People that stand with such doctrine don't belong in leadership. No question about that. It's not about the person, however. It's about that doctrine. For you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the all in all. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's the just and the justifier.